wings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Share with you something that's very important for us as believers, but also dealing with what has affected the world and why the world is like it is today and what we see and what we hear. Because I want to address with the area of obedience, obeying. And I'm calling this teaching today, Understanding Knowledge Comes by Obeying. Understanding Knowledge Comes by Obeying. It is interesting, isn't it, that there is an area within us that God has placed in us, in our brains, in our heart and very being, to learn, to understand, to gain knowledge and wisdom. All of these things that God has put within us are instinctively there. They are in our nature. We see this so clearly, don't we, with young children as they begin to grow and mature. We see that they are observing and they are learning. And a child's hands goes out to everything. It wants to touch everything. It wants to put everything in its mouth. And it's looking and observing. And all of that that it's seeing and looking at and touching is going into the mind, into the brain. Because it's how God has made us. And what was that for? To learn about Almighty God, to have a relationship with Him, to be in communion with Him, to ever go on learning and experiencing the love and grace of Almighty God. But with all that knowledge and all that learning, we have to learn to obey. You see, what God gives us, where there is a knowledge and understanding that is attached to it, we have to apply that. And applying that is very often in the nature of not only faith, but obeying that which He says and He reveals. And we know that through the disobeying of Adam, Eve, look what happened to the world. Look how it changed man's relationship with God and how God provided and how He came down in Jesus Christ, divested Himself in which to reconcile us, to deal with God's anger against disobedience, which resulted in sin. You see, with this knowledge and understanding that we are receiving through the Holy Spirit, we are learning that God is never, ever wrong. He is absolute perfection in all His ways, in all His dealings, in everything He reveals and has done and will do. It is absolutely perfect, no defilement. And it takes us a long time to learn that God never makes a mistake. And this is why often we find we're in a battle with the two wills. It is God's will and our will. You see, we know, don't we, that God gave us a free will. He gave us a freedom in which to move in order to have relationship with him. But all of that changed. And so we find that we have to yield ourselves over to the Lord. We have to bring in our mind and thinking every thought, everything into captivity, casting it down, bringing it down. Each day we have a warfare that goes on in the mind. We have a decision. We can decide whether we want to continue along that path in thinking and meditating upon it, or that we simply cast it down, as we're told to do, in order to have the mind of Christ, to maintain the mind of Christ. Now, of course, God has empowered us by the Spirit to help us in which to do it. But there are times we don't always want to. And the reason we don't want to is because we don't always like God's ways. You see, before man fell, he didn't have that choice of choosing whether to obey or not obey. It was instinctive through relationship. Everything in communication that Adam and Eve had with God was perfect. It wasn't questionable. It wasn't something to consider. It just naturally flowed through relationship. And of course we know that God was testing man and said that you can partake, you can have everything that being created for you, just one thing you don't touch, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The very thing that they were told not to, they were deceived and they listened to the enemy. And we know the result, we know what happened after that. And the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is all stories and experiences where the love and grace and mercy of God, his hand intervenes because of man's unbelief and not obeying God. And most of the saints recorded there are tested in the area of obeying. Abraham was. He was promised an heir. And God gave him that promise, and to Sarah. And time goes on, and outwardly things change, always like they do. And so, of course, Sarah, we know the story, said, "You better have a child with my maid, Hagar." There, they are disobeying God. God had said, Abraham would have an heir. And as a result, Ishmael came. We know it created problems in the family. And Sarah became jealous when she really wanted her own child. And we know the rest. But what happened as a result of that disobedience? We see in the course of history what has happened and is happening today. We could just go on with this. Noah building the ark warned of God that God was going to send a flood. Why was he going to send a flood? Because man had become disobedient. He'd become his own God. He will decide his destiny, his future, and what he does. And as a result, it opens the door to corruption and all sorts of things. And God looked upon the creation, his creation, and he wished he'd never made man. But the mercy and grace of God reached out, and a family, a remnant, was saved out of it. Again, we have the history of the children of Israel in the wilderness, brought out of bondage from Egypt. But again, disobedience. And he said, you're stiff-necked people. You don't want to obey. You don't want to trust me. You want to do it your own way. And look what happened. They perished in the wilderness. And one could just go on and on where you see this coming up. Even King David, who had a heart after God, but he disobeyed God. He committed adultery. When God was telling him, when he was resting and his eyes were looking out from the balcony and he saw that beautiful woman, instead of obeying God, just walking away, he didn't. And so as a result, look what happened. The sword never lifted from his family and his ruling. And we could just go on and on reciting all of this. And we find it exactly in our lives. A lot of our trials and tribulations are as a result that we're not obeying God. Because you see, faith is really obedience. And obedience is faith. You see, when you believe, the act of that believing or acting upon the promises of God is about obeying. Many when Jesus walked the earth, they wouldn't have got healed unless they acted their faith or he challenged their faith. What's he doing? He's getting an act of obeying. That is fundamentally what it is. That is what pleases our Father's heart. The very thing that we want to do to please him, if we've truly been saved, is to obey him. And it is the hardest thing in the natural. And that is why God has to set deliverance. This is why he sets the cross in our lives each day. And this is why he works on our minds, renewing our minds. This is why he calls us to be separated from the world and its ways. And we fight against all of these things as though we know we are in charge. I have the insight and understanding and revelation. And this is why so often he has to cast down these wrong ideas and thinking that we have, that we brought over from our families, from our education, and so on. This is why it's such a big deliverance. All this deliverance is that we will obey. That's what it is. That is its nature, you see. So we're calling this Understanding Knowledge Comes by Obeying. Turn with me, if you will, to John 7. John chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. 15 to 19. And in this chapter, it's where there is division. Some are believing that he is the Christ and what he says is true. And others are not believing. There all is this confusion, the same as we have the confusion today. Nothing changes, nothing is new under the sun. And here it is, we take it up from verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. Wow, doesn't he know how to retell these religious people who think they know it all? If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So he's challenging those who hear by the Spirit and those who don't. And this is why we make so often that it says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Many hear, but they don't follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Because those footsteps are footsteps of obeying God. And he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. And that's what happens with religious people. It's all about their pride, their glory. And they want to let you know how much doctrine and verses they know and remembered. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness in him. And that is why we give God all the glory. We give it back to him. Everything that we receive, every work that he does in our lives, where he works with us in which to obey him, is for his glory. We boast in nothing, you see. And that is how he works in and through us. But notice what it says in verse 13. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. And this, of course, is something that we have to get delivered from. There is a terrible fear that's coming now upon the earth. It's a fear of standing for the truth, standing for the word of God, boasting in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we fear the consequences? Do we fear what man or our family will say? Or whether maybe the police might arrest us? Because we share the gospel, the good news. These are all the things now that we're facing in these last days. And what does it say in verse 14? Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So we see that Jesus was also a teacher. And he's teaching the people. Why is he teaching? Because he knows there is a remnant who will hear and who will respond and who will obey. That's why. And that is why teaching, preaching is so important in the house of God, in the church. It is part of its witness, its light. Because the preaching and teaching of the word means that there is a remnant out there, there is the harvest who will respond and who will hear. And that response and that hearing is attached with obeying. That's why, you see. You know, to live and understand the deeper life teaching that we've been teaching for all these years, we have to obey it. Otherwise, we are not going to know the blessing of what God has been teaching with us over the years. And that's why some have gone away, have left, because they never desired, it wasn't in their hearts to obey that which they're hearing. And that is why so often we need to pray for the word that we hear. We need to come into the room when we come together prayed up, meaning also not only praying for this word, but that, Lord, what I hear, that I may have the faith and obedience to live that which I hear by your grace and mercy. I want that. I want that in my life, in my heart. They are the prayers that God looks for and listens to. But I'm not sure many pray that. It doesn't occur to them to pray in that way. It doesn't occur to them that God wants to open eyes in order to live and obey that which we hear. And that's why sometimes we're so offended, because it comes against what I don't want to do. And I found there are times that God requires me to obey, but in my flesh, I don't want to do it. Probably the greatest one is to love our enemy, to love those who persecute, who gossip about us. And sometimes it can be in your family or in the church. And God says you will love them and you will turn the other cheek if struck. And we find we're in a battle. Why are we in a battle? Because it's about obeying what God says. Because we want to have our say. I believe I've got the insight, the understanding of this situation, and I'm going to tell them. And it interferes with what God wants to do, because God's ways are not our ways. God still has to deal with that pride in us, where we want to defend ourselves. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And he does, but he just doesn't do it in our time and in our way. And there is our big problem. We're not good at waiting on God. But the whole Christian walk is about waiting on God. That's one of the things he teaches us. And in time, he then does what he does. And as I say, it's always a bigger picture when God does it. You'll see things that God does that you couldn't even begin to understand or work out. That's often the reason why. So we need this spiritual understanding, and this can only come by obedience. It doesn't come by intellectual pursuit and study. A lot of Christians think that their obedience comes by studying and memorizing verses. And I'm all for memorizing verses. And I'm all for reading the Word of God. But it's your motive behind that reading and studying. And very often we think our study in the Word brings about that obedience. And it doesn't always. You can see that with religious people, because they're doing it intellectually. It's become a study. And that's not what the Word of God is about. Every time we read God's Word and we look at these verses and everything, it's so that God will change me, that I obey that which I see and what I read, that I have that faith that knows how to act and live upon that which I see. That's why it says so often, not only be hearers, but doers of the word. You see, if you want knowledge, scientific knowledge, historic knowledge, whatever knowledge, then just do it in the flesh, because you're in control. If you want to read a historic book on history or World War I or World War II, fine, read it, but you're in control. It's just human intellect. It's knowledge of the world and history and what goes on. It's the same with politics. Fine. But that is human knowledge. It's in the flesh. You are in control. You are not in control with the Word of God and the reading of the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. You are not in control. God is. And there's the difference. and we still try to apply the two, and that's why it doesn't work. That's why the word says that God calls the foolish of this world in which to confound the wise. Because the wise think that they are in control of their spiritual walk and destiny because they have an intellectual understanding of the Word of God, and they don't. It is the Holy Spirit who teaches us, who comes back to us, as Jesus said. And some get this and some don't. And if you want faith and spiritual understanding, this can only be obtained through the Word and what we read, what we hear, and we act upon it. In other words, obey it. That's the only way. That's the only way it's ever going to come. Do you see saints who got a strong faith? You know why they have a strong faith? Because they act upon that. That is obedience. They're not fighting it. They're not fighting God's ways. They're not fighting against God when God is delivering you, or changing certain attitudes and thinking in your mind. You see, we don't resist, but we allow him to do that change. That's why we're being changed from glory into glory. And that's why I love these meetings and coming together under the banner of Jesus Christ, because this has brought me today for change, to be more conformed to his image, his likeness, to work obedience in me. That's what I love. And why do I love it? It's because what my Father loves it. That is what pleases him more than anything, when we obey. And I want to be involved. I want to be moved by that what pleases him. And it is obedience. And I know that that is the biggest challenge of my life. And that has to be God, doesn't it? God is requiring the biggest challenge of my life is to obey him. Because I know I can't do it, naturally speaking. But I know God can, through the life of Jesus Christ that he's now given to us, each of us, to come and live his life through us, because he is obedience. He was obedient to the cross. And this is what we're learning. Jesus, he had to learn all of this. This is not just something new for us. We know in Hebrews 5 and verse 8, you know this well, but it says, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So the trials and the tests were working obedience in him, the same as it does with us. And that is why we shouldn't think it strange with regard to our trials and our tests that we go through. What does it say in Romans 6 and verse 16? Romans 6 and verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Wow. You have to decide what you want. That is what the apostle is saying here in the book of Romans in verse 16. He says, don't you know this? Whoever you present yourselves, slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey. So if you are yielding over to the world and doing the world's ways. You are a slave to it because you're obeying it. But that's not going to give you life. It'll work death. But he says, if you become a slave to God, to the word, and that what you hear, then that will give you eternal life, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. So in our case, our obedience is to righteousness because we have been made right through Jesus Christ. He has placed his righteousness in us. That is why I keep saying so often, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. My obedience comes and will come because of the righteousness of Christ in me. It's him in me, the one who obeyed and went to the cross. In other words, we can say I'm a slave to obedience. That wouldn't be theologically wrong. And I willingly allow and submit myself to obey. And this is why I keep saying, are you struggling? Are you struggling with your will and God's will when you know what you should be doing, but you're not doing it? Be a slave. Submit to it. We have to ask God to do this. If you see obedience in the life of a saint, you are seeing what they are asking for. And they're meaning business. It's not just a one-off prayer. It's ever the desire in their hearts. It's something that often comes up in conversation or talk with the Lord. That's what it's about. You see, we so often think, oh, I've heard the word, I better go and pray about this. I've done my duty. I've done my lip service. It's not about that. It's about an attitude. It's about a motive of the heart. And if that attitude is right, that motive there is right to obey God, it's something that comes up often in dialogue, in talk with the Lord. Oh Lord, I've missed it this day. I didn't obey you. You were showing me the way of escape. You were showing me what to do, but I decided to do it my own way. And you get in conversation, you get in talk with your Heavenly Father. Come now, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet. This is what he was trying to do with Israel, that she wouldn't have none of it. And it's what he tries to do with us. Why? Because it's about yielding, obeying him. And it takes so much pressure off your life. It takes so much depression and oppression, confusion, doubting, not sure what God's saying or what he's doing. And myriads of Christians are bound by that. And you know why? Because they've never settled the fact we are to obey him. That's why. Because often they're not challenged in the pulpit, in teaching and preaching. Oh, we love talking about the love of God. And of course, we should. Absolutely. The love of God reaches out to the lowly, to the poor, to the destitute, to the rejected. Our hearts should always be sensitive and open to that. In our everyday walk. But it's not a substitute to obedience. We think that's obeying. We think that by doing these works, that is obeying God. It's not. That's why you are not justified and saved by works. God knew what he was doing. What is God actually doing? He's restoring us back through the second Adam back to obedience. Don't touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the same principle running every day in our lives as we walk with God. Exactly what he told Adam and Eve. Nothing changes with God. And nothing is new under the sun. And if you find that this resistance goes on in you, then you are going to move more and more into spiritual darkness and unbelief. And you're going to find yourself trusting and going more and more to the arm of the flesh. Because the power of God isn't working in on your behalf. That's why. When we miss it a mile off, it's because you can go right back and it doesn't take long. I didn't yield. I didn't obey that which I heard. It's the same in the natural, in the flesh, when you study for exams. If you don't put the work in beforehand, before you take your exams or your final or your degree or your master's, if you've not really done the work, then you expect the marks that you get. Well, we see that in the natural, and probably we've been through that one ourselves. So it's the same spiritually. It's what you're sowing to. That is what challenges us. You see, every word and sermon that we receive from God means that we are to put it to the test regarding it. And what is the test? Obeying, believing that which he reveals to us. We have to put to test the word of God sometimes. I'm thinking about where you need to be reconciled to your brother before you can place your gift upon the altar. First, be reconciled to your brother, because God isn't going to receive it. And that's why sometimes we can't believe. He's not receiving our faith, our belief, because we need to be reconciled. We need to deal with sin. We need to deal with wrong attitudes towards people or whoever it would be, you see? And God is fundamentally saying, don't say anything to me anymore. I don't want to hear your lip service. I don't want to hear any of your prayers. Go and be reconciled. Go and deal with it. Get it right. And then you can place it on the altar. And what are we talking about there? Obedience. I'm not going to do that. It's his fault. He was the one that did it. He did it first. And that's our thinking, our attitude, you see. You see, the Lord has a way of instructing us into the most finest details of things in our lives sometimes. Sometimes they can be quite small, but God is honing in. And why is he doing this? Because he wants obedience. And God will, if you let him, if you want him to, he'll deal with your excuses. He'll deal with your self-justification. Because he's going to make us sensitive to things unimaginable. But you have to ask him. And we have not, because we don't ask for the right things. We ask amiss. Until finally he catches up with us. And that's the love and grace and mercy. I mean, all the saints in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God caught up with them. And that was his mercy. because he wasn't going to let it fester. He wasn't going to let them continue to walk because they have disobeyed him. And he finally catches up. And you find that working through lives, through saints, the patriarchs. You find that principle working every time. And it's working in your life and my life. And we call that the grace and love and mercy of God. Because he's catching up with me in order to believe, to obey him, to yield to him and not resist him. And that's why when the Spirit is honing in on areas, don't evade it. If you do, it's going to affect your faith and your believing in the promises of God. Because we need that spiritual understanding. Because if you don't have that spiritual understanding, you stop growing spiritually. And that sadly is what happens to a lot of professing Christians. They're not growing spiritually because they are resisting God. They don't want to obey him. They like the idea they're saved and they're on the way to heaven, but they don't want to walk in covenant and relationship with God because that requires obedience in this life. And that is why he says he will give us that spiritual understanding and knowledge and wisdom in order to obey him. That's why he gives us it, to learn. But you start resisting God, you start resisting yielding to him, and that's going to hinder your spiritual growth. And that's why we have so many in the house of God who are just children and they don't grow up into their sonship as they should. Same problem with Israel. Israel failed her sonship because she didn't want to grow up. And God said, you're a stiff-necked people. Human nature doesn't change. Nothing changes. This is the result of what happened when Adam and Eve fell. But thank God through Jesus Christ, he's reconciling us because Jesus obeyed unto death. And so we now can, through the empowerment of the Spirit, as he has now come back to us, to dwell in us. That's why you are not your own. You're not your own anymore. You have been purchased. You have been brought with a price for the purpose to walk in covenant and obedience with Almighty God. And this is how he's doing it. And this is how he works in us, both to will and do for his good pleasure. Because God is sovereign. He never makes a mistake. Everything is perfect. Absolute perfection in how he works with us and getting us to yield to his way, his will. And he'll go down to the most minutest detail in your life at times in order to get you to obey him. You see, obedience will get you to experience the joy of your Father's heart. You obey him and you will instinctively experience your Father's joy and heart and blessing over your life. I've experienced it. I experience what it does for him. The greatest thing I can do for my Heavenly Father and you can do is to obey him and not argue and resist. That is what gives him the greatest joy and pleasure. And you will know it. And you will experience it. Trust me. And the more you experience that, the more you want to do that for him. So there we are, brothers and sisters. We've been talking today about understanding knowledge comes by obeying. The very thing that we can't do in ourselves is the very thing that he's requiring of us to do. And that's why it's not by might, not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. It is always by the power of the Spirit. He's working within us both to will do for his good pleasure. Don't fight him anymore. Don't resist him anymore. It's not worth it. Because it's nothing but a hindrance, and it's going to stop you maturing and growing spiritually. And maturity is vital now in these last days as the sons of God are coming forth for his glory.
Constancy, for